Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Valerie Burrell. I am excited. I'm excited. I've got my husband here with me, Apostle Benny. We are excited. You're not going to hear from us this evening. Amen. But we have a phenomenal woman of God, Minister Monica. Minister Monica, I'm going to leave it right there. Minister Monica Butler. I adore her. I absolutely adore this woman of God. She's a no-frills kind of person. It is what it is with her, and that's just what it is. Amen. But from the first time I met her, I loved her, and I embraced her as my sister. So we are so excited that she is here with us this evening to share a word that's been given to her by the Holy Spirit. Monica is a student of the Word. She is a woman of wisdom, and I know that she's going to release something that's for each of us on tonight. She said it's about remembering God. That just in and of itself is enough to make anybody happy when they just remember who He is and all that. But I'm not going to prolong. Monica, I'm going to turn this over to you to flow as the Spirit leads. Amen.
Amen. Okay, good evening. Good evening, everyone. First, I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give honor to Apostle Val and Apostle Benny and to anybody else out there to whom honor is due. Everybody out there on the line, just want to say hello. And as Apostle Val has said, I'm pretty no frills. So it kind of, I would say, some people would even say I'm no nonsense, but I am Monica Butler. Not really sure how I got here on the radio, but I'm being obedient. I am a teacher. I'm a student of God's Word. Currently, I do have a bachelor's degree in religious education. Next month, I'm going to have a master's degree. So some people call me a minister. I don't like to get caught up in titles like that. I just like to say that I am a servant of God. And every day, I'm just trying to be more obedient and just trying to do what it is that the Lord is calling me to do. So I'll say that I don't take this assignment tonight lightly, although I did face it with much trepidation. So I will say, I know my sister's on the line and she wants to know why I'm using a Monday through Friday word on a Sunday, but it's more than fear. So, but we just prayed. And so I'm just going to say that I know that the Lord and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that He is just going to just do whatever it is that He wants done. So that's what we're going to do here. As I said, I don't take the assignment lightly. And here I am. So I am reminded tonight of a passage of scripture that says, as I said, I don't know why am I here? Why am I here? But a passage of scripture that says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we should always be ready to provide an answer for this hope. So here I am. So my prayer is that somebody's going to be blessed tonight. I don't know who that person is going to be, but I do know already that at least one person tonight is going to be blessed, and that's me. Today I'm doing something I've never done before. I've never talked on the radio. I have delivered messages, plenty of them, but I've never done this before. So I would say that the Lord is taking me to places that I've never – He said that before to me, so here it is. He's taking me to places that I've never gone before. In the past, I would have said no. It would have been a resounding no. I'm not doing this. I would have said absolutely no. But I just had a calmness about it when I was asked. And so here I am today. I'm going to walk in the boldness that I have through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I solicit your prayers. So tonight's message is about remembering God. So we're going to talk a little bit tonight about remembering God and then rejoicing. So here we go. I'm going to start out with reading a portion of Lamentations, the third chapter, starting with the 21st verse. And it goes like this. this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. So what's going on? This book of Lamentations, the scholars, they ascribe this to the prophet Jeremiah. So there are some people out there that say that they don't agree necessarily that he's the one that wrote it. But for the point tonight, we're going to say that it's Jeremiah. So really, for the point that I'm trying to make, the main point is, doesn't matter who the author is. The main point that we're trying to make with this scripture is that in the 20 verses that preceded it, and just for time's sake, we're not going to read all of it, but you have the scriptures. It's the third chapter of Lamentations. So in the 30 verses preceding it, the author, we'll say it's Jeremiah, but whoever it was, the author, he's going through it. He's having a real tough time. There's things going on all around him. He's afflicted in his body. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Everything's happening. So I'm sure that there's people out there. I know I can say that I've been there, where it's just a whole bunch of stuff. Everything's happening. Oh my God, Lord, all this stuff is happening to me. So maybe it's you out there that all this stuff's happening. But here's the good part. By the time we get to verse 21, Jeremiah, and it didn't take him four chapters or three chapters. He's just down to, by the time we get to verse 21, Jeremiah says that he remembered God's mercies, his unfailing love. Even in verse 25, it says that the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. So he's remembering, like, I know all this stuff's going on, but hey, wait a minute, let's stop. I remember about God's love. I know that his mercies, he has this unfailing love. So what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to submit to you some practical application of God's word. As Val said, like, we can talk about these scriptures, you can read the scriptures, but if we don't have any practical application, you don't apply it in your life, then you're basically, I'm just going to say, I mean, it's good knowledge just to have, but if you're not going to use it, then basically you're just setting yourself up for some trouble, when really you could have, your life will be better if you just apply God's word to your life. So we all have, we either are going through, we've been through, or you're about to go through. So what we need is, we need to have something in our toolbox. We need to have something that we can do that in a time of trouble that we can pull it out. So I'm going to offer you some suggestions. It's not going to be, I'm going to give you like a couple of items, but it's not steps. You may just use one of them. You may need to use two or three of them, but this is how we're going to do. So you don't have to remember them all at once, because it may be just that one of them may work for you. So here we go. So after we get finished with everything that we need you to remember, then we're going to talk about rejoicing. And then by that time, I'm going to be done, and then maybe there may be somebody out there who wants to talk. So then we can talk about what God has done. So the first thing, when you're going through, remember that God is sovereign. So Easton's Bible Dictionary defines that God's sovereignty as his absolute right to do all things according to his own good pleasure. When you're going through something, in a perfect world, if we all would just acknowledge God's sovereignty, then I can end the message right now and we can all just hang up and go about our night. However, we know it's not that in the real world, it's not really like that. That we should recognize that God is just sovereign, submit to his will, and then keep it moving. However, sometimes we need more. When we're going through different situations, we need more. So the next thing that I want you to remember is that I want you to remember those O's. Remember that God is omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. And he is all these at the same time. So I remember not too long ago, I did preach a sermon on God's omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience, and I entitled it, Oh My God. And basically, it was kind of like it was remember at the same time, because it was remember. You know how when you remember something, like you were like thinking about something and then you remember, you're like, oh my God. So I submit this to you. The next time you're going through, just say, oh my God. And if you say, oh my God, you can pick one of these three. Find God in your situation. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere and omniscient. He's all knowing. So one of those three has got to fit your situation. It just absolutely has to. So the next time that we have the enemy, he tries to attack you, we have to know and understand that he may have some power, but in the life of, in our lives, he doesn't have all power. God, our God, has all power. So he might be some places, but he's not everywhere. And we know for sure that he doesn't know everything. He just tries to put those bad things in our mind just for our bad. But we have to know this. Know that our God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient all at the same time. So that covers the full game. That covers everything. So somewhere in your situation, you should be able to plug one of these qualities of God in. And you should be able to it'll understand that it's going to work out. The next thing that you can put in your toolbox is to remember that God is caring. And Psalms 55 and 22 lets us know that we can cast our burden upon the Lord. He's going to sustain us. It says he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's Psalms 55, 22. And then also in 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says that we can casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And verse 5 in that same 1 Peter tells us that we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. So humbling ourselves lets us know that, I mean, we are submitting to God's sovereignty. And we humble ourselves, and then once we humble ourselves, we can take it out of our hands, cast it on God, understanding that he cares for us. And so the next time that you feel alone, the next time you're feeling like nobody cares, like maybe you may have told all your friends and family about your situation, or you're sitting at home and thinking that nobody cares, one thing that you can do is remember that God cares. And he has that unfailing love that's never going to leave. He doesn't want us to feel alone. God also, he even puts people in our lives so to help us to understand. You know, a lot of times, and me, I'm one of them. I'm one of those no-nonsense people that I think I can just do everything on my own. I can live in my own little bubble. I don't need people. That's how that manifests itself in the natural. But on a spiritual level, I know and understand that he puts people in our life that can demonstrate, help us to see God's love. So it brings the Bible to life, comes right off the pages, and it shows up in our lives with people and the situations that God allows us to be in. I know, just personally, I'll say, I know that whenever, I know there's one woman at my church that, you know, and I think that I put on a good front. Whenever I'm going through, I dress myself up. I think I look good. And I think nobody can tell. Nobody knows that I'm going through. But it's one person that whenever she sees me, it doesn't matter. I could have on makeup. I could think I look great, whatever. However, I think I'm covering it all up. But she has this type of love that she connects to me, and she knows that whenever I'm going through something, she'll give me a word. And it doesn't have to be a long word or anything. She lets me know that I'm praying for you. God loves you. So just remember that you're not in this alone. He puts people around us. He puts people in our way. So, you know, we might think that people are bothering us, but no, and understand that God, he has these people in our lives just so that we can feel his love and know that he cares for us. So the next thing that we're going to put in our toolbox is knowing and understanding that God, he doesn't condemn us. A lot of times, even as Christians, you know, if we've done something, we may have something that we feel ashamed about. And as we feel ashamed, then, you know, it has us thinking like that you can't go to God. And you can't even, you don't even deserve to be in God's presence. And, but that's not the type of God that we serve here. So remember that even if you've done something, even if you've fallen, you've gone far away, you may have gone away from God's presence. But when you come back to God, even as you, after you have repented, you turn the situation over to God, don't go beating yourself up about it. You need to be free. You need to know and understand, as the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So know that in Christ, there is no condemnation. So you don't have to sit in your room and beat yourself out up about, you know, what's going on, what you've done. You don't have to do that. You can turn that, give that over to the Lord, and know that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. So another thing that you can do also would be to look for God in your experiences. And I know this one seems really far off, because when we're going through, it seems like God is so far away. It's like, I'm dealing with all this. There is no God, you are, where are you? You are nowhere to be found. But know that God is right. He's always right there with us. It seems like it really does. And I know that even as a teacher and a student of God's word, a minister of God's word, I've even found myself in those situations where I thought that God was not there. He's not in the situation. But we have to really trust God and understand and know and look for God and see that he is not going to leave us in these situations. God is there with us. And the Bible lets us know in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we need to look for God. Look for him. Don't stop looking for God in your experiences, even if you have to look back after a situation is over where you thought God wasn't there. Even if you have to look back, look at this, take another look at the situation and see that even in, like in your own self, in our flesh, we think like because we couldn't figure it out, we may think that God wasn't there. But knowing that, looking back and see, oh, well, maybe it was God. So what I decided to do here is also something that is different for me, because I'm usually a pretty private person who doesn't normally give a lot of stories, or only a very few people that who I actually talk about things to. But where I want you guys to see how this plays out in real life, how it seemed like the situation was hopeless and you thought God was not there, but it turns out he was. So I decided to use a few scenarios, things that happened to me personally, and just so that you can see how it, on the surface, it seemed like he wasn't there, but I found out that God was actually there. So I'm going to do that. So we'll see, as I said, we're going to see how this plays out in real life. So for me, I was going through a divorce. Yeah, I know. Some people don't like divorce, but unfortunately, that was the situation I found myself in, okay? So my husband left me. So as a woman, that's deep right there. So imagine all the things that are going through your head of thinking like, oh, my God, he didn't want me. I can't believe it. Like, so, I mean, like, that's pride, because I'm thinking my head's all is big. Like, what in the world? He doesn't want me. My husband left me. Now, that's incredible. How could he dare leave me? So all this happened. He left me, and this is despite the fact that I did my best to be a godly wife. When I say I it was so different for me. I mean, I'm saying I prayed with him. I prayed for him. I was trying the submission thing. I was doing all the things that I saw everything where Monica normally has like a flip mouth. I talked and say, oh, I was being humble and I sought the Lord before I spoke, all different types of things, all this. And in the midst of it, my husband still did not want me. He had, with all this stuff that's going on, my husband did not want me, and we ended up with getting a divorce. So as we were going through separation and going through the divorce, I thought, oh, my God, Lord, I've been praying. I've been going to church. I've been fasting. I've been at the altar laying down. What in the world? Like, Lord, where are you? So I'm thinking, initially, I didn't see God. I really didn't. I'm like, even though the Lord, when I sat and prayed, and the Lord said to me, I got you. And I mean, it was so many different things going on. Like the Lord showed himself. He showed himself to be like, I saw him being a provider because, you know, he made sure everything was taken care of, like different things that my husband left with me. So I saw the Lord as a provider, but initially still, I'm still thinking, God, you dropped the ball on this one. You let me go. So after some time passed, I'm still seeking the Lord. Like, Lord, what's going on? Like, where were you? Like, I was feeling so lost and alone. Like, I just didn't really see you, God. I'm here trying to do your work. What's going on? So the Lord revealed to me, like, as I'm replaying the situation, some people, even somebody that may be on this line, understands when you're going through a divorce, sometimes that can get messy. And sometimes there can be a whole bunch of drama and all different types of things. So the Lord revealed to me that there were so many things that could have happened to me. There's so much more information that I do not know that the Lord protected me from to prevent the additional hurt. So all this stuff happened, and the Lord is like, do you realize that, you know, you wanted all the drama? He kept me from all the drama that I could have experienced. And a lot of the stuff that I didn't have to endure because of the fact that the Lord protected me. And he that's when I became, I mean, I read the scriptures all the time, even in church. I'm always reading the 27th Psalm. And that's when I became, I mean, the 27th Psalm, that's my psalm there, because the Lord revealed to me, like, remember in my word where I said, in a time of trouble, I'm going to hide you. So in the time of trouble, the Lord hid me. So verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen you, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So the Lord let me know in that experience that in the time of trouble that he just move me over, move me out, and just put his hedge of protection. He just hid me, and then it was like he hid me until it all blew over, and then everything was okay. So I submit that to you to say that it seemed to me while I was going through that the Lord wasn't there, but I find out that the Lord was there because he protected me. He hid me from things that dangers. He hid me from, as I said, things I wanted to know. I wanted to know why this, why that, who this, who that. I wanted to know why. I want answers. I want you to apologize. I want you to do this. And the Lord said that you don't need any of that. Just wait on me. Be of good courage. And I stand here today, and that was in 2009, and it's 2019, and it took a while. It took a while, but my heart is strengthened today. That's an example of how it seemed like God wasn't there. So I encourage you. I have more, but I encourage you that look, when you feel like God is not there, look at your experiences and look for where God is. Look for him there, because I can tell you that you're going to find God. I remember a situation when I was the woman in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood, I was that woman. And so as I was that woman, just like her, I suffered for 12 long years. So after going through tests, minor surgeries, everything, the doctors finally found the problem just in the nick of time. So I ended up having to have surgery to correct the problem. They find the problem, and they tell me that based on their findings that it's a precancerous condition. So we know that cancer, we know people that have it, we know people, that thing's devastating. It tears you up. But just in the nick of time, the Lord healed me. He allowed the doctors to find the problem, and it's precancerous. So praise God, of course. So with that situation, a lot of stuff goes with it. So part of that problem that I have a hormone imbalance. So with the hormone imbalance, it caused me to lose my hair. And my hair is thinning. And in times past, I had really long hair and really thick hair. So this is something, and I may be shedding a tear now because part of this is things that I've never said out loud to anybody before. So this, the fact that my hair is so thin that you can actually see my scalp, that caused me a lot of stress and anxiety. So I'm like, God, like, oh, my goodness, like, you healed me from this situation, but now I'm still having all these other effects. Now, because of this, now I have anxiety. Now I'm stressed about how it looks, blah, 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 blah. The Lord's like, girl. And I'll tell you, like, I'm just paraphrasing, and don't think that the way that I'm saying it about the Lord, I revere God. I love the Lord. But he's like, girl, you need to stop tripping. You have to stop tripping. So the Lord tells me, I'm telling the Lord about how I don't have any hair. He's like, are you serious? I'm right there in the midst of it. I've healed you so that you do not have cancer, and you're tripping about hair? So the Lord reminded me that even though I may be losing my hair, that he still was with me, and he's still with me now. So I got over that. Now I wear wigs. So anyway, another situation, God was there. He was always there with me, and he reminded me as I tried to forget, but he even reminded me it as I went to him in prayer that he never left me. So I also remember a situation of being where I was unforgiving. And I mean, I was holding on to unforgiveness. And I swear, in our church, we were talking about, in our Bible study, we were talking about unforgiveness. It seems like every 2 or 3 months, here it comes. What are we talking about? We're talking about unforgiveness. I'm like, oh, God, like, is this for me? So I'm just like, I'm holding on to it. No way, no way, no way. There's one person. Holding on to this unforgiveness. So through prayer, God told me, he's telling me, no, absolutely not. There's no way. You can't hold on to unforgiveness. And I know what the Bible says about we need to forgive people because we want God to forgive us. But what he was telling me is not you have to do it because that's the right thing to do, which I know I understand that. Remember, I said I'm a student of God's word, so I know I understand that that's the right thing to do. I know that that's what I'm supposed to do. But God spoke to me in a situation and told me that I did not have the right to withhold forgiveness and his love from somebody that definitely needed to experience it. And when God revealed that to me, that was life-changing, because it was at that moment, number one, that I actually did forgive the person. But he's like, you can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that, because people on earth, I have you here to give my word and to be an example of my love. You don't have the right because of what somebody did to you or what you don't feel like doing. You absolutely do not have the right not to do that. So it was just at that moment I saw God in there, and at that moment I had an aha moment. And in the world, they even refer to it as what's called a paradigm shift. So there's a motivational speaker, if you will, Thomas Kuhn, and he defines this paradigm shift as an important moment when basically your entire way of thinking changes. And for me, at that moment, and also to go from a carnal to the spiritual. At that moment, I decided to acquiesce to God's will, and that was life-changing for me. But remember, people, God is there. He's in the details. He's in the small little things. He is there. And I remember a situation where I put myself in the situation, because, you know, sometimes we put ourselves in these situations, and then we're upset at God because he will hurry up and get us out. So I was in a relationship with a person, and I was a Christian. At that point, I may not have been teaching God's word, but I definitely was a student of God's word. I might not have been preaching, but I definitely was a Christian. And I put myself in a situation. I was in a relationship with a person, and we ended up living together. Yeah, we were living together, and this without being married. And I know, I get it. I know that I shouldn't have been doing it, and I know that it was wrong, but that's the situation I found myself in. So he was taking me through the ringer. All the way through the ringer. He refused to leave after multiple requests. He's doing his own thing. And I remember to this day, it's so clear that I was in the shower and I was just crying out to God, just saying, Lord, this is all I said was, Lord, have mercy. And remember, I said, after multiple requests, this person, I kept on saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. And it wasn't until I gave it over to the Lord, I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I was like, Lord, I know I put myself in this situation. I know I need to do it, but Lord, please have mercy on me. And that person got away from me that very same night. So I know God is real and God is there. As I said, he's in the details. You look in it, you look at your situation, and you can find God. So I know you're going through a lot. You're out there probably saying, girl, what are you talking about? You don't know my story. You're telling me about trusting God and this. Trust me, I know. I've been through it. I've been through the ringer and back. Some of the stuff that we go through, some of these experiences, it just does not make sense. It doesn't make sense in the natural, but God is using them to perfect our faith. And let me submit to this to you. Did you even know that you can't even have faith without God? You can't even, you have to even ask God to help you to increase your faith or reduce your unbelief. And this is why you always have to be operating on a spiritual level and not in your flesh. Because all this God stuff, it doesn't make sense in the natural, but God. And trust me, I'm a black and white type of person. Everything has to make sense. So we know that God's ways are not like our ways, and everything doesn't in the natural. It doesn't make sense. So the mere fact that I trust God, it lets me know that he loves me. It lets me know that he's real. So I know that tonight I've said a lot to you. Maybe somebody might have even fell asleep. Maybe you're even bored. But the main point that I'm trying to make tonight is that God loves us with an unfailing love. He desires that we live abundantly, and he doesn't want us to be sad and depressed. He wants us to lean on him. And this unfailing type of love that God has, this is the type of love that we could only hope to experience a portion of it from a human. See, humans, even the ones that love us, our family, the people that we think are the greatest examples and can demonstrate love, even with their best intentions, they can fail us. But God never fails us. Remember, in Lamentations, it tells us that God has this unfailing love. So I submit, when you're going through, remember God. Use one of the things. Remember that God's sovereign and his will. Submit to God's will. Remember that he's omnipotent. Remember that he's omnipresent and omniscient. Maybe one of those things. So I'm telling you that you need to remember God, and then you can rejoice. So let's talk about rejoicing for just a moment, and I'll be out of your way in a minute or two. So rejoice is defined as the feeling a show or a show, great joy or delight. So this is in the natural. And even in at times in the natural, you can hear people using different words like joy, and they use happy, joy and happy interchangeably. So I can understand that in the natural. But happiness, that can be changed by situations and circumstances. Having joy and being able to rejoice comes from having that calm assurance that you have an all-knowing, a caring, and an all-powerful God that's on your side and is able to handle it. So the Bible lets us know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the next time that you're going through, remember God and rejoice. We do have to stop trying to do things our way, trying to figure it all out on ourselves, on our own. We have to stop, you know, coming up with our own plans. We can go all the way back to point number one and remember that God is sovereign. Take the load off, people. We're carrying things that we have no business carrying. Acquiesce to God's will. Acquiescence says a complete, total submission to God's will and realizing that you are going to make it after all. So that's my two cents for tonight. I pray that somebody has been blessed by this message. Remember God and rejoice. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you. We have several callers on the line right now. Amen. If there's one that has a question or a comment, please press one and I can bring you live. Wow. Great word. Wow. Great word. Again, for our listening audience, press one to share your comments or any feedback. Let's celebrate Monica and this tremendous release on tonight. She went into some new territories in the area of ministry, and she got out of her comfort zone, and we certainly appreciate that. And these are some things to hold on to. Very practical. Thank you for your transparency and sharing some of your experiences, because often we will want to give you the word, but we don't want to tell you how to apply it. But you made it very clear about some of the things that we need to have in our toolbox. And my brothers and sisters, if you don't have a toolbox, if you don't have a spiritual toolbox, let me encourage you to go ahead and start getting that together. Amen. She gave you insight about some things that need to go in that toolbox. So go ahead and get it together. And remember that God is sovereign, and remember the oaths of God, that he's omnipresent and his omniscience and he's omnipotent. And go back, read Psalm 55 and 2. She gave you real things to hold on to apply to your life, to help you remember who God is. And that scripture in Lamentations, you were reading it, I was singing it. You were reading the scripture,
well,
I can't sing, so I'm singing you guys. Amen. Amen. But, y'all, that's something that we can hold on to. I mean, she made it so very clear. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, I guess they're holding on to what was shared. Amen. And grateful for all that called in, for those who were in the chat room on tonight. This will be on Facebook. Please share this on your page. Allow some other people to hear this dynamic word from this servant of God. I'm excited. Monica, again, thank you so much for your time and for this release. I am.
Thank you so much.
I'm speechless. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, listening on next week, we'll be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Some folks call it Easter Sunday. We'll be back here with another empowering word tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. I think I'm going to pass it off to somebody I haven't told yet. Amen. And then the following week, we will have a guest. We'll have another guest with us to share. I'm excited for those who may be joining for the first time. This platform, the Lord placed in my spirit to use several years ago, and I've been doing this actively for 7 or 8 years now. where we've reached over 60,000 people in countries far and near. But it's not just about what it is that I know, what it is I release, what the Holy Spirit reveals to me, but it's also a platform that other people would have a voice, that they will be able to release their voice and their sound into the atmosphere to empower the kingdom of through what has been revealed. So if you have questions about any of the topics, you have ideas about specific things that you would like to hear more about, please don't hesitate to contact me. You can find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, or my husband, Benny M. Burrell. You can go to our page, The Empowerment Place, LLC, or to our website, theempowermentplace.org. We'd love to hear from you. On tomorrow morning, we will be having our intercessory prayer, so please inbox your prayer requests, and we will be praying for you. Amen, amen. As always, know that here at The Empowerment Place, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. We're dedicated to impacting lives of those who have been pressed down by life circumstances. Our mission is to enable and motivate men and women to enhance and develop their quality of life and become champions of their future through teaching the Word of God. We want to aid those who have been wounded spiritually, emotionally, and we want to be proponents of educational transformation using godly principles. We're committed to empowering individuals, thereby strengthening families and transforming communities. That's who we are. That's what we do. And that's what we're going to continue to do in fulfilling the mandate that God has for us. Remember that we love you here at The Empowerment Place. Remember also that you are the key to your empowerment. After you've been empowered, what do we always encourage you to do? Empower someone else. Let's live that. Let's become the servants, the kingdom ambassadors that God needs in this hour. Let's be those change agents. Each of us has an idea. We have a strategy. We have an answer. Let's utilize and tap into those things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us, and let's make a difference. Until next week, again, Monica, we say thank you so much for what you've shared and how you've empowered our listening audience on tonight. And thank you to each one of our listeners. We love you. Have a great night.
Good evening.